back to Numbers 13, I think about verse 25. But also, while you're doing that, go to James 4 and verse 17 as well. I've already got them marked in my Bible, so I'll beat you there. Got a poem to read for you guys. I know this is not normal, and I brought my iPad because my phone's out there being used. And I've never used an iPad up here before, so it's sliding all over the place. So, do y'all know what we preached on last week? Does anybody know? He's a better reader than I am anyway. Does anybody know what I preached on last week? Huh? Caleb. All right, good. Caleb. Y'all remember kind of where we were going with that as a church? Caleb, if y'all don't know that, I know y'all already know this, but it took Caleb 45 years to do what God wanted him to do. Amen? 45 years. He could have done what God wanted him to do when he was 40. But he had to wait till he was 85. And I redundantly spoke about this, and I will probably for a while. You're either going to do what God wants you to do now as somebody who's obedient, or you're going to do it when you get older. And the only difference is you're going to wish you had done it when you was younger. You're just going to wish. You're going to wish, man, I wish I just went full head in what God told me to do, and it would have been better. Amen? But I'm going to be real transparent with you guys just for a little bit here. Has anybody found that James 4:17? That was an add-on. That's why I'm struggling with remembering it. James 4:17, anybody found that? Good, because I'm going to have a couple of y'all read that in a minute. Last night, I was struggling. I probably shouldn't have went down to the racetrack. Probably shouldn't have. But I've been struggling throughout the whole week trying to figure out, because I knew I told you this was going to be a series message. And I know God was, it was on my heart. I'm like, man, last Sunday, I was like, man, this is it, Lord. This is where the church needs to go, and it still is. But last week, I had an opportunity a couple times, and I'll explain that in a little bit. I had a couple opportunities to apply. Or let me say this. I had a couple opportunities to live out that message that I preached last Sunday and failed miserably. Failed miserably. I had the opportunities to take that message from off the book and out of my mouth, because I'm just a mailman and able to live it out. And you know what I did? I didn't do it. I failed at it. I stood there silent. And God just teed it up. I mean, God put it on a tee. And there was this one fella in particular. It was worse than T-ball. God said it on T and went, "All right, Kevin." He said it to my name. It's, "Go ahead. Go, y'all, you sit there like y'all right now, and I'm going to really preach to y'all this morning. Go ahead, Tiger. Hit the ball." You know what I mean? It's easy. You know what I did? My Lord, it might not be my time to do this. When God says, "Hey, Kevin, hit this ball," it's you. Amen? So what happened all week from that day on, I changed positions and roles from where I was preaching at, and I didn't want to identify that. Because sometimes we like to be the hero in our own stories. Especially our biblical stories. We want to be the hero. We want to be the champion. We want to be David. We'll walk down there and whoop that Goliath until David looks off his porch at Bathsheba, and then all of a sudden we don't want to be David anymore. We want to be Uriah. I'm the good guy in the story. I wished I could tell you I was always the good guy. And I want to be the good guy. And that's why it broke my heart. Because, you know, so then God, listen to this. I want to tell you this. God has zero problem with taking you and not caring about who you think you are. I don't care if you label yourself a preacher, a teacher, a Sunday school person, a deacon, a councilman, somebody that's important. God will say, I will show you that, you know what? I will correct you in such a way that you'll have to do something with me. And God, I'm sitting there going, hey, Lord, it'd be good if you just kind of turned on what you turned on last week for this message. Could you kind of cut the spigot on for that? And God said, well, that ain't you anymore. Now, if you want to preach it from the point of view that I want you to preach it from, then we can turn the spigot on. So you know what I did? I thought it was real cute. Lamar, you'll love this. I thought it was cute, man. I was like, you know what? God don't want me to preach that this weekend. He wants me to preach his other message. I've ran my race. I've finished my course. You know why? Because I went to the racetrack. And dude, I wrote a whole message about the racetrack. It was real good. Had Eric in it because he's a winner. Had Scott in it because it was his first opportunity. He got a top five. Everybody clap for that. It's all right. But I noticed Eric and Johnny were doing something different than Scott was. Scott was trying to survive. They were trying to win. But I also noticed something else. And I mean, I'm thinking I'm real cool, like I'm going to get this by God, but I'm not. I noticed, and I don't get, this is just the way it is. I noticed something. I noticed that Eric worked from the time, I missed qualifying by a little bit. But he worked from qualification all the way to the next race. He didn't run like he did in, apparently, I didn't see it. But he didn't run like he did in the first race, in the second race. Because he took all the time between that last race to the next race on adjustments. And I wonder how many times I don't make adjustments from the last sermon to this sermon. It would have been a real great message, and y'all would have walked out here and said, man, that preacher can flat out preach, brother. Because I had some other ones, you know, I had some other great parts in that message. But God said, you know, the reason you're having a struggle with trying to get into what you're doing is because you had the opportunity to live out last week's message, but you failed. And there's a lot of us that are failing in the church. We don't ever like to watch our own film and see where we failed, where we can do better next time. So God took me to this poem that was written, and it's called Prayer. And it's about a man who had a friend of his who was really struggling to be a great Christian, okay? And I'm going to read it for you, and I'm going to try to make it where you can't understand where it comes from. It's a great American poet, right? Well, I consider him great. God, his condition has worsened since we was last talking. I'm with him now, and he ain't doing well. Of this, I'm certain. He says he's trying to trust you, but he won't even discuss you. But he was in the midst of sinners, and he did not even discuss you. And just today, his anxiety got the best of him. He knows Christ, but for hours refused to rest in him. He's not the best of men, but Lord, I know he really loves you. And I can't understand why lately he's not thinking of you. People trust this man. You could crush this man. Father, he needs more of you. I pray that you touch this man. What can I say to him? I'm determined to pray for him. Father, empty and break him. I pray you'll just have your way with him. Because there's a change in him and the effects are strong. I pray you'll open up his heart before the next song. And when he gets home, I pray he'll open up the 66 book love letter you wrote and soak it up. Because he ain't hearing you and he ain't feeling you. And God, I know it's killing you because it's killing me. And matter of fact, there's something else I'm concealing. See, the person that I've been praying for is really me. It's really me. That great American poet was Lecrae, by the way. Y'all just listened to a rap album in the middle of church and didn't even know it. Just wanted to do that to hurt some of y'all. Like, oh, golly, I kind of like that. Does anybody have that verse I asked y'all to look up? Would anybody dare, maybe on this back right-hand corner, stand up and read it, or just read it sitting down? It's James 4:17. Oh, no. There's people. All right. Yeah, I want it read real loud because I need it. Could somebody in this up here in this right quarter panel stand up and read that real loud for everybody?
Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin.
Could somebody in that left corner back there that was already scrounging around, kind of ducking left, didn't want to know? Could y'all read it? Somebody read it real loud. For him to know, do right and do it not is a sin. It's kind of that's what it is here. Yeah, come on, there you go. Yeah, one person down here, in this corner right here, this little nut. There's two preachers sitting here. Y'all going to just make me coin flip this thing or what? Come on, Scott, show them up. Good Lord. I'm going to give some of y'all a break this morning. Some of y'all are drinking, some of you are using drugs, some of you are sleeping around, some of y'all are lying, some of y'all are bitter, some of y'all are backbiting, some of y'all are gossips, some of y'all, all that. But I guarantee this, there's a church full of people in here. God's wanting you to do the right thing and you just won't do it. That's sin too. That's a bigger sin. That's a bigger sin. Now I know you're going to get mad at me on that, but that's a bigger sin because you know what? Your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you're going to heaven. And what you're saying is, you know what? I know to do the right thing, but God, I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't want to put somebody in a bad position. And you're not putting them in a bad position. You're putting them in a position where they can be saved. One plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. But you refuse to water and plant. How are we going to have a crop if we won't water and plant? And I'm not talking, listen, I'm being honest with you. I ran into five people that God set up the tee, but there was only one in particular who said, hey, this one is for you. And you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to go all the way back across, and I'm going to have to find that fellow this week, and I'm going to have to tell him. One, I'm going to have to apologize to him. He's foul-mouthed. He's rough as a cob. I don't know him. He don't know me. His life is totally different than my life. It's going to be a whole lot more. There's no way in. There's no special way of doing it. Instead, God, it was T-ball. It was God. God, I walked up with somebody he trusted, and he sat there and said about four things, and God was saying, if you would just open your mouth right now, I could tell him why he's going through this stuff. All you would have to say is the reason you're hanging on, the way you're hanging tough, the reason you've been able to make it to so much trouble and turmoil and stuff is because God's trying to save you and he loves you enough. It's not because you're tough. It's because God loves you. Yes, even you. And you say, well, what do you got saved right there? No, I don't know if I don't think so. I just think it would have rattled around his heart and his mind and it would have settled down somewhere. And all of a sudden he had said, you know what? I needed Jesus. He probably knew it his whole life. But I failed. So therefore I got flipped over into the other group in this message. I didn't want to be over there. I didn't want to be over there. I want to be Caleb. Give me that mountain, Lord. We can do it, Lord. But instead, the voices in my head are often like this. God, not now, Lord. What if I say that and they get mad, Lord? What if I make a scene, Lord? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Every time you read it, it gets harder, don't it? I know it's when Gary, he's like, you want me to read this? Yeah. Because a lot of times we're going to sit here and we're going to talk about stuff that's, you know, lust, lying, cheating, stealing. Man, when we're sitting right across from somebody, we know it's lost and undone. And we got the answer for it. We sit there. And then we say we care. Then we complain about the world. And this world's going to hell. And it's our fault. Whew. When's the last time we shared? And I know the ruffians, yeah, but sometimes it's just somebody you love. But you've been in that fight before. Been in that argument before. How many times did it take you to get saved? That's what I deal with. How many times did it take me? I ran for 30 years of my life, and I can almost remember every person who told me about Jesus. I almost want to have an altar call right there and just call her done. We've almost heard enough this morning, ain't we? Some of y'all that don't like church are like, yeah, let's get out of here. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that out loud. Sometimes I say stuff out loud, and I'm thinking, man, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Go to 13:25. Y'all ready? Let's jump in a word. Y'all need this. I need this. Let's go a little bit faster. Numbers 13, verse 25, and they returned from the searching of the land 40 days. 40 days. They were in the land that God promised them for 40 days. And they were just fine. Amen. That's a big testimony right there. They were just fine. God took them into the promised land that they were going to spy out. And God said, this is the land I'm giving to you. And they went in there for 40 days and they all came out fine. If it was so dangerous and so bad and so hurtful, maybe half of them didn't make it back. There's only a handful of us we didn't make it out. But every single one of them came back. Every time God sends you out to do something, He has a plan for you to come back. Amen? Whew. Have you ever worried about, well, God, I know there's people out there. Well, what if God sends me to the inner city? What if God sends me here? What if He sends me to a third world country? If He sends you, praise God, He's got a plan for it. He's either got somebody over there that needs it, or you both need it, and He plans on you coming back if He sent you. Now, if you went on your own, you're on your own. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. I'll amen myself. You know I will. Verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness. I want you to notice how they talk and who they talk about while I'm reading. In the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and all the congregation. They showed them the fruit of the land, and they told them and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Yeah, it's just like God said. They got part of it, right? The devil's good at that, and we're good at that sometimes. We can do half scriptures. We can talk about and live about half of it, right? But we don't want to leave the other half off. God says, that's your promised land. I'm taking you out of Egypt as slaves, taking you through the wilderness and giving you a promised land. But when they get there, it's kind of like, God, it's kind of like what God has said, but you know what? It's nice. The food's good and everything's in there, but they go, if they had shut up right there, it'd look brilliant. Sometimes God tells me that. If you'll just be quiet right here, we'd look brilliant. It's just like God said it was. But then they go just a little bit further. He said, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains and the Canaanites of the sea. Did I read 28? Nevertheless, the people are strong. And that's it, verse 28. Go up to 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. They're huge. The Amalekites dwell in that land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites, they dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Did you read what I'm just saying? All they talked about was over there. What the people were doing, what the land was about. They didn't ever say God. They never talked about Jesus. I worry about any believer who talks about circumstances but never puts God in it. Talk about politics, but never put God in it. Talk about America, but never put God in it. Talk about church, but never put God in it. Talk about building a building, but never put God in it. We got to put God in it. Somebody told me this week, they said, you know what? We'd have that building built and finished if we would do one thing, and it hurt my heart. And you know what they said? If we would all get together and pray towards it. Pray towards it. Not all of us go out there and look at it and go, dear Lord. I'm talking about our hearts saying, God, if you want that, do that. All of us. But we talk about circumstances, but we don't trust God in the circumstances. We don't put Him in it. God said it was going to be this way. I noticed that. They talked about everything over there. We talk about the world, but we don't put God in it. Do you know what he said in the end times? He said, in the end, trouble will come. And he said, your mother's brothers, your wives, your husbands, your families, your mothers and fathers, sisters, will turn you over to the authorities. And you will have to go up in front of courts and tell them why you think the way you think and talk the way you talk. That day's coming. You're going to have to stand there and you're going to say, why are you such a hater? Why do you hate everybody? Why do you hate this group and this group and this group? We say it's right and you say it's wrong. And you know what the word says? Man, some of y'all right now are getting anxious, but I don't like talking from. You know what God said? Don't even give it a thought for what you're going to have to say. He said, I'm going to turn on the voice box of the Holy Ghost. I know that scares some of us, but I'm going to be honest with you. He said, you're going to be able to stand up, and you're not going to be talking. God's going to start talking for you. That's not a place in the Scriptures where you don't have to study to show yourself approved to preach messages. That's when you get in such trouble with God. Help me. When you get in such trouble with God, God says, don't worry. I got this. We're too afraid to get in trouble with God for God to show up. We don't want to get into trouble because we don't think God will show up. He said, if you get in enough trouble with me, I will show up. If you'll get in so much trouble with me, I'll be standing right there beside you. And I'll start talking for you. It's been proven out in the Scriptures over and over. I like to preach this, so I will. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There was a woman who come to Jesus to pour an alabaster box of ointment. Some of y'all say, he preaches that all the time. It's because I love it. It's because of who I am. This is me. I try to pour out my very best to God because he poured out his very best to me. I'm not going to hold back on him because he didn't hold back on me. She walked in there and she wiped took the hair of her head and wiped his feet. Took the most costly thing she had in the house. The most precious thing she ever was given by her father and mother. And broke it and poured it out to Jesus. And somebody said, why'd she make such a waste? Man, I love people. I get more. I love people, man. They come, Kevin, you're wasting your life. Get out of my face. Wasting my life. I wasted 30 years of my life. Everything I've ever done for Jesus has never been wasted. It's always been blessed. It's always been there. It's always good. I wished I had 30 more years to serve the Lord the way I didn't when I first came up. So when somebody says, you're wasting your life, I just laugh at them. I was like, yeah, you got to be kidding. I got so much life, I don't know what to do with it. You're wasting your time. Man, what are you talking about? I'm an eternal being. Amen? When I stop breathing on this side, I move into eternal where there is no time. Man, I've got time in spades. I've got time in abundance. What are you talking about? So you better be careful. You might die. I'm sorry to tell you, but that ain't possible either. I'm either going to be living here or living there. Amen? If I'm living here, I'm going to be preaching. That's for you, baby! But if I'm in heaven, that's for me. My preaching days are over. I'm hanging my shoes up on the power line right before you go into glory. I'm going to go sit. Oh, you might have to finish this thing. I'm going to go sit next to the one I've been preaching about. All the stuff I've been talking about in this book is going to become in view, and I won't have to talk about it like a man looking through a glass darkly. I'll be beholding it, and my faith will end in sight, and I'll be standing in the presence of God, and everybody will be sitting there going, ain't you glad you made it? It's over, baby. We made it. Let me take you to the King. Let me take you to the King. I know some people, amen, that are in heaven. Whew, preach their whole life about Jesus. Amen? Great ones. I bet as soon as they walked in, they were like, whoa, I couldn't even tell half this story. Amen? I couldn't even tell an end to this story. You're going to see that. You're going to see that. Stop talking about the enemy. Stop talking about the world without God in it. I love what Caleb does. Man, y'all might have to look over me for a minute. And Caleb stilled the people. You know what he did? He goes, shut up. Y'all, we're afraid to talk to anybody like that anymore. I'll tell you right now. We've got a bunch of, I'm talking about spineless people in this country today. You talk tough to this generation, they'll melt like melted butter. I'm telling you. Man, sometimes you just need to tell some people, shut up. Hey, man, be quiet. Caleb stilled the people. Could y'all see Caleb? I see it like this. I might be a smart aleck. But Caleb, the whole time they was talking, sitting there going like this. What are you talking about? That's not what I seen over there. Can I preach a little bit right here? Sometimes what you see is you're looking through a worldly lens, not a godly lens. Let me go ahead and give it to you the way I see it right here. Some of y'all are sitting here going, man, it's so bad. It's so dark. Man, this world don't want God at all. It's just miserable. You know how I see it right now? God chose me to live in this time. What? God trusted you enough to live in the darkest time of man? That the Lord's about to come? And everybody's saying it's so dark? And I know he said something crazy like, you are the light of the world. Like a city, not a candle. Like a city set on a hill. Amen? You are the salt of life. Man, somebody should be looking at your life right now and going, why do you have the hope that you have? Glad you asked. Amen? Because I'm born again. And everything that's happening now just is ushering in to where I want to be. There's room for you if you want to get in. There's joy, happiness, and peace for you now and a promise for you later if you want to go. Amen? Some of y'all are afraid. Some of y'all are afraid. Well, how can I back that up with my life? Praise God, you should be able to back it up with your life. And back it up with your church, too. Some of y'all wonder, but why do we have church the way we have church? Why do you do the way you do? Because, praise God, I want to make you look like a fool. I don't want you to tell somebody to come to church and they come up here and they get some watered-down version of who we are in Christ Jesus. I know some of you are coming, man, I can't believe I invited him this week, man. I ain't no telling what he's going to do or what he's going to say. I'm going to try to do everything God wants me to do. There's a bunch of thirsty people out there. There's a lot of miserable people. There's a lot of church hurt people in this world. They need Jesus. And some of you think that rough, that one guy, he's so rough, he's so mean, he don't want no Jesus. He wants Jesus more than you do. They just ain't nobody approached him because they put a rough exterior out where nobody will ever approach him to give them the Jesus that they need. You'd be surprised. You'll have some of the roughest people you ever seen come in here, and God will break them down, and they'll be the most tender-hearted person you ever met, because guess what? God works like that. I used to put a rough exterior on. I did. I'd talk tough, cuss a little bit, put a little stuff out there, but man, God knew. God sent her going, I'll break you down. I will mess you up. I'll make you cry in front of everybody. I hate when he does that, but I love when he does it too. Amen? Do y'all like getting baptized in your own tears? Man, I miss that sometimes. Pray God, you be said. I remember I was down there at the county jail. Of all the places, they took me down there to the county jail and put me in the bullpen. All the roughnecks in there, and all of a sudden they just started singing Amazing Grace. Next thing you know, I had tears coming down both sides. I probably told you this already, but act like you've heard it. Never. Them boys are laughing. Look at him. He's crying. He cried. The only reason I was crying is because I knew about I heard the song. They'd heard the song, but I lived the song. They said, old preacher man come over and said, you want to stay in here and preach? I said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When I left, that whole group of people was crying. And a man on the suicide watch is crying about Jesus. I ain't nobody, but I'm just to be honest with you. Some of y'all are, you see people the way they put out. We do that all the time at church, don't we? Everybody come in here, we put on our best show. I'm being honest with you. Half of you, if you would be honest, you would come in here, you'll fall right on the altar and worship God and ask Him to help you with the stuff you... this nation, this church, this community, let me just go ahead and be blunt with you. You are miserable right now because we're living through a pandemic and you're about crazy, baby. You've thought every which way about mass, not mass. Is that somebody I need to be around? They're too close. They're too far away. Can we shake? Can we hug? Can we love? My gosh, we live in a weird place. But we come into church, we're good. If we'd be real, we ain't good. We come in here and we're good, man. I hope 40 minutes we'll be at the restaurant. Man, I wish we'd get to the place where we'd worship God so strong, so hard that we'd get to go to the restaurant. We'd worry about time because we'd get there about 2:30 and everybody'd be gone anyway. And then maybe the waiters and the waitresses wouldn't confuse us with the church crowd. Man, golly, I could preach on that for about 14 years. Some of y'all don't even deserve to go out to eat. You have one bad thing happen to you at the restaurant, and you act like you've been eating butter beans, and you make a scene in front of the waitress and everybody else, and I ain't going to leave here and tempt. Well, good, you don't tithe and you don't tip either. I should be quiet. I'm going to get myself in trouble. You know what? You better be careful. You could lose your job. I don't have a job. I got a calling. And God put me in where He wants me to be. Praise God. When you go there, look at your waitress or your waiter and say, that's my mission field. God set me at this table for them and me. I can act like a godly man or woman, or I need to go home and fix my own food. I don't know why it's so heavy on me, but I'm going to be honest with you. We let a lot of people walk past our lives, and we don't even care about them. Some of y'all, I want to do a ministry. Oh, preacher, what could I do? Could you please tell me what to do? Start loving people like Jesus did wherever you go. Why don't you have a heart for anybody? But if you're inconvenienced, somebody cuts you off, somebody pulls in front of you, you flip them off, you cuss all the way down here, and you come in here and won't be blessed. Bless me, Lord. For what? I'm cleaning up 99% of your mess that you left out there. Y'all messed around and got me to preaching. You messed around, and some of y'all gonna leave here today. Oh, can't believe I'm gonna hurt my feelings. I ain't trying to hurt your feelings. I'm trying to say, God, we gotta be better out there than we are. We got to be better. I got to be better. Not you, I do. If I want you to do something, I won't do it. What are we talking about? Whew. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. The people wept that night. Of course they did. It's always hard to sleep and carry on when Jesus wants you to do something, you won't do it. Some of y'all might go home tonight and worry about this message for a while. It'd be better if you just do business today. And you ain't got to come to the altar. I think sometimes in our church services now, the altar's become a mistake. Because you'll come to the altar, but you won't change nothing. Some of y'all just to say something in your pew like this, God, I'm going to change this. Then I'll come to the altar and rejoice when I do. Man, did I drink truth serum this morning, Peyton? Did you put some truth serum in my coffee? Because I feel like in that movie, Liar, Liar, I can't even stop myself. If you don't know that movie, don't go watch it. I can't verify if it's a good one or not. I watched it when I was 14. Some of y'all go, I can't believe that preacher watches Liar, Liar. I'd like to come to your house, look through your movie selection. Matter of fact, unlock your phone, bring it up here. Let me cruise through it for a while. Some of y'all wouldn't even let me see your last text. Come, let's get me out of here. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Of course they did. And the whole congregation, some of y'all going to be mad at the preacher all day long. You'll have him for dinner, but won't have him over at your house. You get that about halfway home. And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we died in the land of Egypt, or we had died in the wilderness. When you don't do what God wants you to do, you're going to wish you was dead. And therefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. God never intended you to be prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said unto the other, let us make a captain, let us return into Egypt. Let's go back into our bondage. Has anybody in here been tempted to go back to where you came from? Don't lie. I've been there. I might be better just living the world in this church sometimes. No, it seems like it's harder to go for God sometimes than it is for the... But you're looking at it the wrong way. You're talking about the people. You're talking about the circumstances. You talk about failing and dying instead of living. Did you notice how they all talked about it? This is my favorite part. Watch. I said, man, Kevin, if you're going to preach like this on Sunday, would you let us know or we could lay out and not come? And we'll just blame it on everything else that's going on. Yes, I will. God, y'all, I'm sorry. I tell you, I can't stop. And Joshua, watch this right here. And Moses, now watch this right here is what it's going to take. Hey, some of you preachers, listen to this. And some of you councilmen, check this out. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. What'd they do? Charlie, did you see that? When you're having your hardest time with your people and you can't figure out how to do it, Gary, you don't know how to do right with them. Scott, they ain't doing what you want to do. And they're rebelling against God. You know what they did? They all got on their face before God. Aaron and Moses, the leaders, you know what they did? They just fell on their face before God in front of everybody. Man, they exposed their weakness. Oh, God, help us. It ain't got to be an elaborate prayer. Just help us. Some of y'all need to learn that one. Lock yourself and you go, God, help us. Help me. Amen. Watch this right here. I love it. Verse 6, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb. You know who Caleb is. The son of Jephunneh. I don't know if I got that right. Which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Some of y'all need to tear up your church clothes. I said that out loud. You look good on the outside, but you're doggone dead as a dead person on the inside. Amen? Amen, preacher? Yeah, thank you. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceedingly good land. It's good. God didn't lie. It's good. The land's good. If the Lord delight in us, if He's with us, He will bring us into the land and give us the land, and the land floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade to stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. You know what they did? They got tough. Not against the enemy, but against the ones that were opposite. Let's stone them. But this is my favorite part. Guess who showed up? They stood up and said what they said. Caleb then got up and talked for the Lord. And they said, we're going to do something to them. And God said, I'm coming down there. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Some of you need to make your mind up right now that you're going to stand up for God regardless of the consequences. And when it gets bad enough, God will come down to your defense. And you let Him defend you. But don't look for the defense if you're not willing to stand. Let's all stand as they get a song, Scott.